This is the North American Debrief by Atlas News. Welcome to today's episode, where we are diving into the most pressing topics in North America and around the world. Buckle up, because today we're navigating a whirlwind of geopolitical topics, from heated debates in Washington to chilling events overseas. Stay tuned as we dissect the U.S. Senate's border deal, mourn the tragedy at Boise Airport, and discuss the escalating tensions in the Middle East. We'll also dive into Venezuela's political standoff, witness military might in the Pacific, and explore the intricacies of domestic legislation targeting private paramilitary activity. Starting off, two U.S. aircraft carriers, the USS Carl Vinson and USS Roosevelt, are flexing their muscles alongside Japanese destroyer JS Ice. This joint exercise, the first of its kind since November 2023, showcases the strong alliance between these two powers and sends a clear message of regional stability. While routine, these drills cannot be completely divorced from the ongoing tensions in the South China Sea, where China's territorial claims remain a point of contention. Now, let's shift our focus to the U.S.-Mexico border, where a potential bipartisan deal is on the horizon. Senators Lankford, Murphy, and Sinema, representing a spectrum of political views, have been spearheading these negotiations, aiming to tackle the complex issue of immigration reform. But the path to a solution is riddled with hurdles. The proposed bill, expected to be released soon, will offer increased funding for Ukraine and Israel alongside stricter border security measures. However, concerns are aplenty. Former President Trump, a Republican frontrunner, has already denounced the deal, casting a shadow over its prospects. House Speaker Johnson also expressed disapproval, further complicating the situation. Even within the Senate, the deal faces opposition from both sides. Hardline Republicans deem it too lenient, while some Democrats worry it concedes too much ground. This delicate balance act makes the 60-vote threshold for passing the bill seem increasingly narrow. The coming days are crucial. Will the senators overcome internal resistance and present a unified front? How will the House react, especially considering the Speaker's stance? These questions remain unanswered. One thing is clear: the success or failure of this deal will have significant implications for both domestic and international politics. Next, tragedy struck at the Boise Airport in Idaho. A hangar under construction tragically collapsed, leaving multiple fatalities and several others critically injured. Details remain unclear, but authorities are treating it as a mass casualty incident. Our hearts go out to the victims' families and everyone affected by this devastating event. On the legislative front, a new bill aimed at preventing private paramilitary activity has been introduced in the House of Representatives. Led by Representatives Raskin and Senator Markey, this bill seeks to address concerns about groups like the Proud Boys and Oath Keepers, citing their involvement in the January 6th Capitol riots. HB 6981, formerly titled the Preventing Private Paramilitary Activity Act of 2024, outlines several restrictions on these organizations, including public drills, patrols, or training that could cause bodily harm, interference with government operations or intimidation of individuals exercising their constitutional rights, impersonating law enforcement or assuming authority without consent. Penalties range from 1 year in prison for nonviolent offenses to life imprisonment for causing death. Both sponsors, Senator Markey and Representative Raskin, emphasize the threat posed by paramilitary groups to democracy and the rule of law. However, concerns have been raised by others, like Adam Holroyd, co-founder of Spiritus Systems. He argues the bill is vague, infringes on self-defense rights, and disrupts traditional community preparedness activities like militia training. Next, our news roundup takes us first to the simmering tensions between Venezuela and the United States. Venezuelan National Assembly President Jorge Rodriguez lashed out at the U.S., calling their sanctions threats blackmail and vowing to hold presidential elections in 2024. This comes after the U.S. revoked sanctions relief on Venezuela's gold sector, citing a lack of progress on electoral reforms. The U.S. accuses Maduro's government of violating the Barbados Agreement, an agreement aiming to improve electoral conditions. Rodriguez rejects the accusations and reiterates Venezuela's sovereignty. The U.S. threatens to reimpose sanctions on Venezuela's oil sector. Transparency International highlights Venezuela's corruption issues and lack of judicial independence. Now, the Houthis, a Yemeni rebel group locked in a years-long conflict with the Saudi-led coalition backed by the U.S., have released a statement claiming to have launched a missile attack on the USS Lewis B. Puller, an American Expeditionary Mobile Base vessel patrolling the Gulf of Aden. However, there's no independent confirmation of this attack, and U.S. Central Command, CENTCOM, has remained silent on the issue. This lack of confirmation raises several questions. Is this another instance of the Houthis exaggerating their military capabilities as they've done in the past? Or could there be some truth to their claim, even if the attack wasn't successful? One factor to consider is the USS Lewis B. Puller's role in recent operations. The vessel has been involved in interdicting Dhows smuggling Iranian weapons to the Houthis, including a raid in January that resulted in the seizure of missile components and the tragic loss of two Navy SEALs. This history could make the ship a prime target for retaliation in the Houthis' eyes. While the veracity of the attack remains unclear, it highlights the simmering tensions in the Red Sea. The Houthis have repeatedly targeted commercial vessels in the region, raising concerns about the safety of maritime trade and potentially impacting global energy supplies. Additionally, an attack on a U.S. warship, if confirmed, could escalate the conflict and draw the U.S. deeper into the Yemeni quagmire. It's crucial to remember the broader context of this potential attack. The Houthis are part of the Axis of Resistance, a network of Iranian-backed proxy forces in the Middle East. Any response to U.S. actions could involve attacks on American interests elsewhere in the region, further complicating the already volatile situation. Moving away from the Red Sea, we head to the Philippines, where a significant development signals a renewed focus on regional security. After a 7-year hiatus, the U.S. and the Philippines are set to resume 2+2 meetings in March. These high-level dialogues involving foreign and defense ministers aim to strengthen bilateral ties and address shared security concerns. The timing of this renewed engagement is no coincidence. China's assertive actions in the South China Sea, where it claims vast swaths of contested waters, have raised concerns among regional nations, including the Philippines. The U.S., seeking to counter China's growing influence, sees the Philippines as a strategic partner in maintaining regional stability. These 2+2 meetings could lead to increased U.S. military presence in the Philippines, joint exercises, and enhanced maritime cooperation. While details remain under wraps, it's clear that both nations see this renewed partnership as crucial in navigating the complex geopolitical landscape of the South China Sea. Finally, we delve into the recent drone attack on U.S. forces stationed in Jordan. 3 American servicemen lost their lives, and many were injured, in this incident carried out by Iran-backed militias. The attack, targeting the Tower 22 outpost near the Syrian border, marks a significant escalation in regional tensions. Details remain incomplete, but confirmed reports paint a grim picture. U.S. Central Command and President Biden himself confirmed the attack, with the latter attributing it to, quote, radical Iran-backed militant groups operating in Syria and Iraq, end quote. The Islamic Resistance in Iraq, an umbrella organization for these militias, claimed responsibility, further implicating Iranian involvement. President Biden's statement honored the fallen servicemen, vowing to hold perpetrators accountable and, quote, carry on their commitment to fight terrorism, end quote. This tragedy raises crucial questions about the U.S. response. With nearly 200 attacks against U.S. forces already occurring in recent months, how will the U.S. react to avoid emboldening these militias? Past responses have been measured, targeting specific militia and Iranian infrastructure. However, the Jordan attack demands a strong message. Escalation is a risk, especially considering potential U.S. withdrawal plans from the region. Finding a balanced response that deters further attacks while avoiding wider conflict will be crucial. This incident transcends Jordanian borders. It reflects the simmering tensions between the U.S. and Iran, playing out in proxy conflicts across the Middle East. Understanding the complex web of alliances and motivations of various actors is vital to anticipating future developments. We've unpacked the most significant headlines of the week, shedding light on the complexities of our interconnected world. Remember, this is just a snapshot. Dive deeper, engage in discussions, and become a more informed citizen. Thanks for joining us today. This has been your North American Debrief by Atlas News.